So, as you know, for the next month or so, we're looking at the book of James. As I said at the start in the announcement, we're only going to look at the first couple of chapters of it because there's so much great advice, rich instructions, awesome bits of teaching that we need to sit back and look at every now and again.
See, James is a book about action, and it's about getting your hands dirty and practical advice in the best of times. And it's one of those books that stands at the test of time as well. It's not just written for 2,000 years ago. It's one of those books that are written for here and now and gives real advice to those people living through all different experiences of life now as well as back then. So it's one of those great books that we all should look at every now and again. And so it wasn't just a book for the early church, it's a book for the here and now as well. But the book of James starts off in a peculiar way. And so I want to dive into some of the rich analogies there and stories in there and advice in there head first. And so we're going to tackle some of these things. But firstly, I want to think about some things to begin with. Now, I think there are three types of advice we get given in life. The first one's probably the good advice, like the person that told me to put peanut butter on ice cream. It works really, really well. Try it sometime. And those countless times when I was playing soccer, was where they said, keep your eye on the ball. So, because if I didn't keep the eye on the ball, it hit me in the face. And someone once said, and it's a good piece of advice, and it stuck with me. It said, always remember to be yourself. Unless you're a unicorn, then be a unicorn. But be yourself. And so those are bits of good advice that when you listen to it, you think, that's good advice. Then there's the second piece of advice, the bad advice. Now, I must admit that I have given some bad advice sometimes, but I've been given a lot of bad advice in my time as well. And so I remember a friend, we were having a bunch of guys around together, and we thought, we'll do some silly stuff. And he said, why don't you try scorpion chili? It's not that hot. Now, unfortunately, scorpion chili is up there in the top five hottest chilies, I think. And even, I took a chunk of it, and it was like it was burning my mouth out. The worst thing was, I got milk and everything like that, but I still had residual stuff on my hands. And so I went to rub my eyes, and it stung like anything. So, fair to say, I didn't listen to advice from that person much again, because he was one person that gave me bad advice. Then there's the other type of advice. There's a third type of advice that comes into this category where you think it is bad to begin with, or you think it's totally weird, but it's actually good. And so a bit of advice like that, you might have heard the old saying, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. And you think, that's just an old fairy tale. But in fact, they made a study of this in 2013 that if the people over 50 in England just ate one apple per day, they would actually prevent or delay 8,500 heart attacks and strokes every year. So actually not bad advice.
Wait, their own heart attacks?
Their own, not anyone else's heart attacks because they're throwing the apples at them. But there's enough good stuff in it to do that. Now, my dad was full of this advice as well. Like when he grew up, he said, when you get sunburnt, put cucumber on it. Or when you got pimples, put tomato on it. Now, that one, I thought, well, I'm just going to cut a bit of tomato and put it on my face. But actually, and he kept on saying it, I thought, man, he's been, I don't know what he's been doing with the tomato plant, but it's just not good advice. It's not good advice there. So, but then actually, when I read about it some more, it actually wasn't too bad advice because tomatoes have a lot of vitamin C and vitamin A in it and antioxidants and acidic content. So when you rub it on there, it helps to neutralize some of the pimples in there. Some of the things causing the pimple. And so all this time, I had to go back to my dad and say, hey, you know what you said? And I made a bit of fun of you. Yeah, I have to have my tail between my legs and say, sorry, it actually was a good advice. Not that I ever did it, but it is good advice. So that's a third type of advice. When you think you're something really weird and think you're offbeat, but it actually turns out to be good advice. So where does this opening chapter of James fit into, or the first half of it? Now, we're going to read it here first. And so, as I said, we're looking at verses 1 to 12 in the first chapter at the moment. So I'm going to read it out. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take their pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers a plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that God, or that the Lord, has promised to them who love him. So where does this advice fit into? Was it good advice? Is it bad advice? Or that weird and wacky one that you don't think is good and think it turns out to be good at the end of it? See, when I was younger, I first read this chapter, and I actually got a bit annoyed at it. In fact, for a few days, I read the chapter, I read the opening thing, and had to put it down again. I thought, how dare James come and tell me, oh, treat all trials as joy. How dare he come and say, yeah, whenever you go through a hard time, it's going to be good, it's going to be joyful. To me, on the surface, it was like some of those bad advice you get from people. Like you say, when you're going through a bit of a tough time, they say, oh, no, you'll get over it. It'll be okay, it won't last that long. You'll see the bright side of it soon. And so to me, when I read that first chapter, I thought, that's what he was talking about. Like, how does James know how I'm going through now? What does James know about the suffering that I'm going through, the trials and the persecution that I might be going through now? Has he ever lost someone close to him? Or does he know how I'm feeling in that time? Has he ever gone through a time when he was at school or uni and no one was talking to him, being left out at different things? How does James know how I feel like? And that I should be treating all trials as joy? So on the surface, I read it as that. I said, no, I can't read this any further. I put it down when I was younger. See, I got angry. But I didn't quite understand everything that he was saying. And I wasn't reading the whole text. I was letting my emotions get caught up in the interpretation of the text. So if James isn't saying, just get over it, everything will be rosy, what is he saying? See, I find it fascinating, at the very start of that chapter, at the very start of it, after he says, who I am and greetings, the first couple of things he says, he opens up with saying, whenever you face trials. He doesn't say that they might come. He doesn't say, oh, if you face a trial here, if you face a problem here. He says, whenever you face one. Which means we're all going to face them. We're not immune to facing a trial. We're not immune to being in trouble. We sometimes think, and there's that wonderful myth out there, that when Christians become a Christ follower, that then everything's going to be rosy. Everything's going to be smooth sailing. You're not going to have a trouble in the world. Here James is saying no. He says, whenever you face trials, consider it joy. So right off the bat, he's saying, hey, he's putting everyone in the same boat and saying, hey, look, we're going to face some trials now. We're going to face some trials soon. No matter if you are the highest of the high, the lowest of the low, a rock star, someone who comes along here, someone who does that, we're all going to face trials. So secondly, he says that we're all going to face trials, but how are we going to look at it? And how are we going to grow from that? The second thing he says in that is very important as well. Because he says, firstly, he says that the trials that you're going through, they're going to make you a stronger person. You don't know it yet, but you're going to become stronger once you gone through this trial. So he puts that at the start as well. He says, hey, wait a minute. I know it's bad now, but there's going to be some great stuff at the end of it as well. So you think about it for a second. You think, oh, well, perseverance, how am I going to endure this? How's it going to make me stronger? But the thing is that when you do weight sessions and when you go to the gym like I do all the time, don't laugh. No, but when you do gym sessions and things like that, if you do a bicep curl once, it might struggle. You might find it hard to do it the first time. But afterwards, after a certain amount of time, it becomes easier and you can do more. And you can't see, you can't just do this bicep curl here and your muscle just goes like that, doesn't grow like that. But over time, if you keep on doing it, it does grow. And like in our strength and our faith and our perseverance does the same as well. That once we keep on doing things and once we struggle through something, we grow in ourselves. We adapt and mature, like what it says here. Now, all these things, like when I was growing up 15 or 16, I was going through heaps of troubles. But now I'm a lot older than that, a lot older than that, that I can now sit back and say, okay, if these things come to me, then I know how to deal with them. I've endured that. I've suffered through the perseverance to get through that. And so James says that at the start here. He says, hey, look, these troubles that you're going to go through now, you're going to grow. You're going to be better than what you are now once you've gone through them. And so the perseverance and the endurance that will bring and that I will build in you is going to be so much bigger and better than what you are now. It's going to be great. The next thing he says is probably one of the most important things. James is saying, if you lack wisdom to tackle the trial you're going through, if you can't get through the problem, if you need help, if you can't work it out, then God can help you. God is offering to help you. God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge to get through the problem or the trial that you're going through. It says in there, God will give generously to whoever will ask without any strings attached. Regardless of how bad you think you are, and regardless of what you think you've done, God will give you generously the wisdom that you need to get through this. He will help you through whatever you're going through because he loves you. There's some cool verses in terms of this. Now I'm going to put them up here. The first one is from Romans. And so Romans 8 verses 28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, God can work through all things. So you have to notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say God will work in a couple of things. God will work in some things. God will work in all things. God will work through all your problems. Not just the ones you think you can give to him, or the ones you think you can't handle, or the ones you think you can handle. He will work through all the problems there. See, nothing escapes his attention. Next verse is 2 Corinthians verses 9 and 8. And it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. See, God knows your every need. God knows what you need to get through a time of trial or troubles. There's no situation too hard that he won't be able to help you in. He's got an array of tools in his toolbox. And he says, hey, look, here, have this, here for this, have that, to help you get you through that. And the next one, John 16, verse 33, says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying, hey, you will have trouble. You'll have trials. But one thing is for sure, I have overcome the world. I've defeated sin and death. I've defeated everything else that stands in the way. You can come to me to help me out. See, Jesus gives us security in an insecure world. He's the one thing in this world that has overcome the troubles. There is nothing that happens in this life that Jesus hasn't already thought of or God hasn't even thought of that can't help you through. See, Jesus says that when we pray to God for wisdom, we need to believe that he will follow through. We need to do it with confidence. We need to think, hey, God will actually help me out in this. See, it's just like if I'm going to play tennis. Oh, I can't say, yeah, I'm going to win. But if I don't rock up there, if I don't turn up to play tennis, if I don't give 100%, then how I expect to win? The same with praying to God. If I just say, hey, God, help me out, but don't think he's going to win, don't think he's going to do anything, then how is he expected to do it? We have to have that little faith, that little mustard seed of faith to say, hey, God, you can work miracles in my life. And actually, hey, yeah, you can do it. And he will reward that faith. See, it's easy just to say, yeah, I'll give it up to God and pray about it. But it's hard to believe sometimes. But here James is saying, hey, hey, you can believe. You must believe. Trust God with that. Now, I found a cool poem that sums up pretty cool. And I want you to take one and pass it along here. Oh, no, I should have given this out at the start, but it's okay. Okay, there's going to be a few there, so. And so I toyed around playing with it on the screen, but it was hard to put on there. So I found this poem, and it sort of fits into what we're talking about tonight. So I'll start reading, you can follow along there. It says, Lord, I've never moved a mountain, and I guess I never will. All the faith that I could muster wouldn't move a small anthill. Yet I tell you, Lord, I'm grateful for the joy of knowing thee. And for all the mountain moving down there through life you've done for me. When I needed some help, you lifted me from the depths of great despair. And when burdens, pain and sorrow have been more than I can bear. You have always been my courage to restore life's troubled sea and to move these little mountains that have looked so big for me. Many times I've had problems when I've had bills to pay and the worries and the heartaches just keep on mounting every day. Lord, I don't know how you do it. Can't explain the wheres and whys. All I know is I've seen these mountains turn to blessings in disguise. No, I've never moved a mountain, for my faith is far too small. Yet I thank you, Lord, Lord of heaven. You have always heard my call. And as long as there are mountains in my life, I'll have no fear, for the mountain moving Jesus is my strength and always near. It's a cool little thing to remember because it doesn't eliminate us from having problems in our lives. But it has the wisdom and the knowledge in there to give it up to God and to think that God can move these mountains in our lives. Regardless how big or how small we think they are, in times of trial, God and James are saying, hey, A, we're all going to go through problems. B, we need to give them up to God. And see, if you think you lack the wisdom, you think you lack the tools that you're going to have to get through this, God will give them up to you. And the last thing is believe that it will happen. There's no time limit on this. It's not to say, hey, you pray once and believe once, it'll go like that. Some trials are like that. They'll go immediately. But some will take a longer time. But James is telling us here that we have to believe that God is working within us and he has the tools for us to happen. So let's just close in prayer. Hey God, we just thank you for your words of wisdom. Thank you for the words in James there, Lord, that teach us that, hey, we're not immune to having troubles. The trials are a part of our everyday life. And it doesn't mean we are weak if we have them. And Lord, when we encounter trials and troubles there, Lord, let us pray to you to give us the tools, the wisdom and the knowledge to get through these trials. And when we have those seeds of doubt planted in ourselves, wash them away, blow them away. Help us to believe in confidence that you can do anything, that you can move these mountains in our lives. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.